number four is you have to protect the cash that you have. You want to keep short-term cash in a checking account in a safe bank. And you can check your bank rating, your safety rating on your bank, and there's two websites that I have up here. One is BauerFinancial.com. You can go to Bauer Financial, and then also TheStreet.com. And both of those, The Street probably has the best safety rating system out there, the most accurate and so on and so forth. I feel like TheStreet.com is a real safety rating. They do a really good job. And you can go there and just go right down the side on the left-hand side, and it says safety ratings, banks, and it also does safety ratings on your credit unions. You want to keep your deposits at $100,000 or less. And you say, well, Norm, they just raised it to $250,000. That's only good till the end of this year. So don't get used to having more than $100,000. And you can have $100,000 in each bank, like in Wells Fargo. You can have $100,000 in Wells Fargo, that banking system. If you put $100,000 in Wells Fargo downtown and $100,000 in Wells Fargo uptown, you're still only insured for $100,000 in Wells Fargo. Go to another bank. Do the safety rating. I encourage you to keep it under $100,000, okay, regardless of what they put it up to. And then you want to keep your longer-term cash in like treasury bills or treasury bill-like money markets. Treasury bill money markets. Money markets are really, really a little dangerous right now. And what we want to do is we want to protect ourselves. If you're going to put your money in a money market, I encourage you to put it in a treasury bill money market. In other words, the money market is in treasury bills. The only other thing you can do is actually go to the treasury department. You can do it online, and you can actually set up your own account buying treasury bills. And when I say a treasury bill, I'm talking about a short term with an average maturity date of 90 days or less. All money markets need to have an average maturity date of 90 days or less, preferably invested in treasury bills. And you say, well, it's not paying any interest. That's right, and it's not losing any money either. If you go after an investment that gives you a 5% return, but you lose 30% next week, what good is that? Does everybody understand? Right now, it's not about return on investment. It's about return of investment. Amen? Number five, you want to cleanse your investment portfolio. I want to encourage you to begin selling off, if you haven't already done it, is that we need to be looking at selling off our select paper assets into market rallies. When the markets rally and the markets go up, don't be buying into that. Be selling into that to maximize your return. Get out of the paper markets. You can always go back in. Amen? You can always go back in, but you can't always get out. Stop contributing to tax-deferred retirement pension plans. We want to cleanse our investment portfolio. Romans 13, verse 7, you say, stop contributing to my 401k. Like I said, you know, the way you get your 401k to $1 million is start out with a $2 million 401k plan. Romans 13, verse 7 says, render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. What this is saying is this: pay your taxes when they're due so that you don't owe anybody. Tax-deferred investments are in direct violation to God's commandment not to be in debt to anybody. Owe no man nothing but to love him, because when you have a tax-deferred investment, that tax money is in your account, tax money that you owe Uncle Sam. You have to understand, that's the spirit of the world. God says, don't owe taxes. Pay them to whom they're due. Pay custom to whom custom is due. Get it out of the way. The world comes along and says, hey, let's defer those taxes. And so we're going to defer taxes. That means you get to keep the money until you're older. But if you want to get out, first of all, if you have a 401k, you can't get out as long as you're working your job. You either have to get fired or quit to get your money out. And then if you do take your money out before 59 and a half, you get to pay a tithe to the world system. You get to pay 10% penalty. How many of you understand? That's not God. God does not demand a tithe to get your own money back. Does everybody understand? This is the world system. It violates everything that is of God. And it always defers and always defers. But you see, the bottom line in the end, honey, you're going to pay the price. Some of us are paying it right now. The other reason why we want to get out and we want to start bringing our money home out of our tax-deferred investments is because they're coming to take you away. Ha ha ho ho hee hee. Buenos Aires, October 21st. Argentine President Cristina Kirchner moved Tuesday to nationalize $30 billion in private pension funds. One day you've got your pension plan, the next day it's in the government coffers and you can't get to it. This is called socialism, socialization, the nationalization of pension funds. She's saying it was necessary to protect retirees in the global financial crises. Yeah, right. You know why they've nationalized? Is because then they take that money and loan it to themselves so that they can cover their deficit. We are taking this decision in the international context in which the G8 countries and others are seeking ways to protect banks, Kirchner said as she presented the nationalization plan. And you say, well, Norm, that's in South America. That's in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Well, wait a minute. November 4th, 2008, Raleigh, North Carolina. The Carolina Journal reports this. Democrats in the U.S. House have been conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, and convert them to accounts managed by the U.S. Social Security Administration. Testifying for the House Committee on Education and Labor, Teresa Ghilarducci, I did a pretty good job on that, Ghilarducci, proposed that the government eliminate tax breaks for 401k and similar retirement accounts, such as IRAs, and confiscate workers' retirement plan accounts and convert them to universal, get this, guaranteed retirement accounts, GRAs, managed by the Social Security system. And you must understand, they're talking about this in Congress, and when you have a socialist president and a socialist Congress, believe me, socialism is coming. And don't be mad at them. Because all that's going on right now is God is releasing judgment on America because she has turned her back on God. It's the judgment of God that's coming on the United States. And the church is out there and they're whining and they're moaning and they're groaning. And then they stand in the pulpit and says, we're not under law. God's laws have passed away. Dear Lord, what do you expect? God's judgment is on in America. And we need to repent. And the first thing we need to do is start coming out of Babylon, commercial Babylon. Is any of this making sense? I want to tell you what, God is upset. He's upset with His children. And He's disciplining us. And the reason it's hard for us is because we don't know what His commandments say. We don't know what they say. We don't know what they mean. We don't know how to apply them because we've abandoned His laws. And so we end up in bondage. And so what's happening now is that all of that's coming back on us, including the church. And I love the church. That's why I take chances and having you guys not love me anymore. I appreciate it. See, the bottom line is that I want God's word to be made manifest in you, in God's people. So these GRAs are coming. In other words, folks, You must understand, the government's got to have money to pay these bills. And before they go big time to have the Fed print, they're going to confiscate our retirement funds and bring it under Social Security. Remember, you heard it here first, because it's coming at us like a freight train. Get ready. And so what I encourage is, I encourage people to start developing a plan to be bringing those retirement funds home. Okay, and everybody's a little different. You have to get with your accountant and so on and so forth. You can look this up on the internet. It's right there. And then you want to put a portion into precious metals. Precious metals are the only monetary asset that's not somebody else's liability, and this thing goes over the edge. It'll be the only monetary asset that has any value to it whatsoever. And if we have an hyperinflationary scenario, it's the only monetary asset that will maintain its purchasing power. So we're protecting our assets by having some precious metals. And I talk more about that in the book. What we want to do is we want to stay away from real estate right now. Don't buy any real estate. Now is not the time to buy. They're saying, oh, well, we're just about at the bottom and things are going to start turning around, so now's the time to buy. I'm telling you, don't buy now. You have so many more foreclosures that are in the works. Unemployment is going to continue to rise, which is going to cause more unemployment. That's going to put more foreclosures out there and more houses on the market, and prices are going to continue to go down. And even if there is a little bit of a blip up, don't get sucked in. It's a sucker's rally. If you've got a home that you owe debt on, and I'm not saying sell your home, I'm saying consider selling your home into any rallies and pay off the debt. Take whatever's left over and just put it in cash and precious metals and then rent for a little while. It's okay to rent. Jesus rented. Paul rented. Does everybody understand? They rented. Sometimes they didn't even rent. They just bummed the couch at somebody's house. It's okay. Not to bum the couch, but you know what I'm talking about. How are we supposed to have a house if we don't borrow money? Well, who says you have to have a house? Who says? In other words, that's the American image. That's the image of the world. You got to have a house and a mortgage. If you don't have a house and the mortgage, you're not with it. In other words, I'm supposed to break God's commandments so I can maintain the image of the world? That's what it is. I know this is hard to hear sometimes, but folks, that's what it is. And right now, we're down to where the rubber meets the road. There's not much time left in this, especially getting out of the system. If you owe money on your house, seriously consider liquidating it, getting out of debt, and taking any equity and just staying liquid in cash and precious metals. If you own your home, just follow the Lord. I had a guy that called me from Texas the other day. He said, I heard you back in 1998. And he said, we paid off our house. We sold our house. We moved to Texas. We bought another house, paid cash for it. And now we're getting ready to go. I forget where he was. He was going to move someplace. And he just wanted to confer with me. And they're selling their house. He said, it all depends on selling the house. And I said, I know. And so he's looking at selling his house to move someplace else. But the bottom line is he's not going to go into any debt. And so if the Lord has you sell your house and do something, take that equity and just go to the sidelines for right now, and then maybe come back to the markets at some point in time, because I can almost guarantee you that prices in the housing market are going to be lower this time next year than they are now. But you got to be led by the Lord in that. Does everybody understand? Just be led by the Lord. The number one thing is we want to get out of debt. But if you don't owe on your house, you own your home. It's paid for. Just follow the Lord. He'll lead you. And then sell investment properties into any rallies. If you've got investment properties out there and you can get out of them, I encourage you to get out of them now. Well, actually, I encourage everybody to get out of them in 2004. But nothing's changed. Because number one, you're in debt, borrowing money to try and make money in your investment real estate. Amen? That's where it's at. God says, woe to those who try and increase what is not theirs and make themselves rich with loans. In other words, you're trying to increase an asset you don't even own, something that's not yours, with borrowed money. You're borrowing money to buy something you don't even own. The bank owns it, so that the price will go up so that you can make money or become rich using those loans. God says he's going to rise up. He's going to let the creditors rise up, come against you, and you'll become plunder for them. And that's where the world is at right now. They're plunder for the lenders, and many of those being plundered are God's people. It's an end-time transfer of wealth, but it's going the wrong way. How many of you still love me? Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, and the bottom line is we need to get back to God's Torah, because God's Torah prospers us and leads us out of Babylon. Isaiah 48 and verse 17 says this, "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go." And 99% of your pastors or your preachers out there stop right there. And then they give you some sort of a gobbledygook, sloppy agape, give me your money type of thing that they say God will prosper you by. And I know that that's hard, but folks, I mean, all you got to do is watch Christian TV and that's what you get. Am I lying? I'm not. You know it's true. Look at verse 18, very next verse. If only you had paid attention to my what? My commandments. God is saying, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. What does the word Torah mean? Teaching and instruction. If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river, and your what? Righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, and your offspring like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from my presence. Verse 20, go forth from Babylon. In other words, what he's saying is, I teach you how to profit, and the way that you profit is you keep my commandments, because in keeping the commandments, you come out of Babylon. That's what he's saying here. These are principles that are eternal throughout God's word. This is when the end time transfer of wealth takes place. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry land. I will shake all the nations. Say all the nations. And they will come with the wealth of all the nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The transfer, the wealth transfer comes where? Right in the middle of the shaking. We can't be afraid of shaking. The stocks, bonds, and mutual funds are mine, says the Lord. Oh, he says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I shall give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. And when it says gold and silver, the gold and silver are mine, says the Lord. I don't think he's necessarily just talking about gold and silver, but I believe what he's talking about is righteous investing, righteous walk that produces enduring wealth, righteous wealth. Does everybody understand? Wealth that's built upon honest weights and measures and not the dishonest weights and measures of the paper world system, the debt-based paper world system. We've got to get back to doing things in a righteous manner, because that's the only thing that survives in the last day. How do we love God? Well, it says love God and not the world. 1 John, New Testament now. We're in the New Testament, New Covenant. 1 John 2 verse 15 says, do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. God is saying, don't love the world, and this is the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That was the original sin in the garden, amen? And what is it that feeds that lust, that allows you to acquire and manifest that lust in your life? Is money. That's why the love of money is the root of all evil. And the Lord is saying that that love of money and the lust of the flesh is in the process of passing away. but the one who does the will of God shall abide forever. How many of you want to abide forever? Yeah. Well, what does that mean now? I'm almost done. Hang in there. How do we love God and do His will? How many of you really want to love God and do His will? Anybody besides me? And I don't want to just say that I love God. I want to really love God. And I mean, you know, we have a heart for God and so on and so forth. But do we really love Him? When it comes right down to it, do we really love Him? And how do we know? How do we tell if we really, really, really love God? Good question. I'm so glad you asked. John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, the way we can tell if we love God is we're keeping His commandments. Because the bottom line, folks, is when we break His commandments, especially when we know it, you know, just being ignorant is one thing, but breaking His commandment, knowing that we're breaking His commandments, tells us that we love ourselves and what we want more than God in the end. I mean, is that right? That's not a lie. That's the truth. And we all wrestle with it. Some of us do a better job than others. But we're all wrestling with it. Nobody's arrived yet. Amen? But some of us have left. 1 John 5 and verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. You know why? Because when you get back to just the raw Word of God, without all the traditions of man and the leaven of the Pharisees and all the denominational doctrines that they teach as though they're the commandments of God, when you get through and sort through all of that, there's the law of God, the law of God, in its original form as ministered by Jesus and Paul. And that law is not burdensome. It's all the man-made stuff that gets piled on top of it. A lot of you have come to me in this conference and said, you know, there's a lot of teaching out there on Torah and that just, I mean, every wind of doctrine that's out there. I have two teachings. One is called Introduction to Torah. The other one is God's Law of Salvation. That really lays a foundation for your approach to Torah. In the end, Yeshua and Paul clarify how to properly interpret and how to properly apply God's laws. It's called fulfilling the law. That's why when Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, what He was saying in the Hebrew vernacular, He was saying, I didn't come to misinterpret and misapply God's law, like the Pharisees are doing, is what He was saying. I came to show you how to properly interpret it and how to properly apply it in your life so that you could be blessed and not cursed. That's what He was saying. And you say, well, Norm, it's all just about love. It's not about keeping the commandments. It's just about love. I just want to love. Have you heard that? Just love. Okay, it's all about love. And I agree, it's all about love. What does the Bible say about that? Good question. 2 John verse 6. And this is love. Not this is the love of God, but this is love. This is the manifestation of love. That we walk according to what? His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. What beginning? All the way back to the garden. Adam, if you love me, you won't eat of that tree. Adam and Eve did not love God with all their heart, with all their might, and with all their strength, and with all their soul. They loved themselves more, even in an unfallen state. But there is a people in the earth called the remnant of God who in the end turn fully to the Lord and come into the fullness of Him because of the new covenant of Yeshua on the cross, and through the power of God's Spirit writes it on our hearts and then walks it out in life and are changed from glory to glory into His image. That's us. And we were created for such a time as this, and it's time to get off the floor and get out the door for God and start living the life instead of just talking about it, about going out and beating up on the devil by doing his commandments rather than trying to pull down some boogeyman that's not even there. There's so much spooky spiritual stuff going on in the church, but it's part of the great end time apostasy that gets our eyes off on everything except doing the Word of God. Amen? It's time to get real with God. And I believe in spiritual warfare, but you know where the spiritual warfare starts? Right here. I've got to pull down the strongholds in my own life before I can worry about the stronghold over the city. Because it's the stronghold in the people that allows the stronghold over the city. And it starts with me. I'm telling you, the Lord is hot tonight. And I want to tell you what, folks. That's where the Lord has taken us. Here's the deal, folks, is that I hope in this message and in this word that you can hear the voice of God. And He loves us, yet the Lord is, I really sense that the Lord is really speaking to us. You know, Pastor Bob was talking earlier about how in the next year, year and a half, I mean, there is really, he just knows in his spirit that there is some really some heavy duty stuff coming down. And now you've got understanding as to why it's coming down and how bad it really is going to be. And the only way we're going to survive is to come out of that thing. So I encourage you to get back into God's Word and really, really study it from a Hebraic understanding. Learn how to apply it properly in your life and then do that. Because the one who teaches and does the law of God is called great. The greatest in the kingdom, is that right? That's what Jesus said. Because heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or one tittle of God's law passes away. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to turn it over to Bob, and then I'm going to come back and take a few questions.